Greetings, fellow Bible believers. Someone has made the remarkable statement that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest attested fact of all of history. As we look down across the ages, as we look down across the millenniums and centuries, that has been that great immortal truth. Jesus Christ literally, bodily arose from the grave. The Bible teaches that Jesus not only arose from the grave bodily and literally, but that Jesus Christ is coming again someday for His church. It's wonderful to look into the Word of God and read about this glorious resurrection. Fellow Bible believers, as we look at the resurrection of Jesus, the fact of the resurrection gives us hope. Hope for the future, hope for salvation. As I look at the resurrection of Jesus, my, how it filled the messages and the hearts and the minds and the preaching of the apostles there and the early Christians in the early days of the church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 28, and in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, ladies and gentlemen, Sabbath worship was coming to an end. As a matter of fact, Sabbath worship, Saturday worship, never was applied to the Christian people. So it didn't matter whether or not it was nailed to the cross, even though it was. At the end of the Sabbath, the Bible teaches back in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, that the Jews were delivered by God's great high hand out of Egyptian bondage. Therefore, God commanded them to keep the Sabbath. He never commanded us to keep the seventh. Never has He commanded His people to keep the Sabbath. The apostles never observed the Sabbath day. They went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day to convert the people that were there. Sometimes they were thrown out of the synagogues. But the Sabbath was coming to the end, and the day was dawning toward the first day of the week. And since that time, the early disciples, and down through 2,000 years, God's people have met every first day of the week in order to honor the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first day of the week worship, Sunday worship, was not organized or instituted by Constantine. It was not instituted by the Roman Church. It was instituted by Almighty God in His Holy Spirit. And over and over and over again, the Bible talks about the end of the Sabbath. And so the Sabbath, the law, the Mosaic system was coming to an end. The whole thing was nailed to the cross. The rules and things written in ordinances and things written and engraven in stones, it was all nailed to the cross. It was the old will. And you can't have part of the old will and then the total new will. The old will was totally nailed to the cross. And any of the laws of the old law, any of the laws of the Old Testament that we're under today, it's because, not that they're in the old, because we're not under the old, we're under the new. It's because they've been incorporated into the new. And so today, we don't want anyone to rob us of this wonderful, wonderful hope which we have as we come together on the first day of the week, as we come together at the end of the Sabbath. My Jesus arose from the grave on the first day of the week. The Bible says in Matthew 28 and verse 1, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulchers. Bible scholar, the Bible teaches the Sabbath had come to an end, and a bright new day was dawning, and a bright new day can dawn in your life. If you'll accept what happened on the first day of the week, you can go around the Lord's table today. On the first day of the week, you can be with God's people. And remember that the old Sabbath has been nailed to the cross, and the laws and ordinances of the old are gone forever, and we're under the new. Thank God that we have the salvation through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Bible says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the sepulchre. In Matthew 28 and verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and quake, the Bible says, and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come and see the place where the Lord lay. Isn't it something how that Satan is trying his best to minimize the resurrection of Jesus Christ? There will be specials, even on television, that will ask the question, Did Jesus really rise from the grave? Did Moses really, under the power of God, part the water? Was there really a flood? You see, Satan is trying his very best to destroy Christianity. He knows that he's condemned. He knows that he's a wounded animal. The Bible teaches in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, and verse 15, God was talking to the devil, and he told the devil that the seed of the woman would bruise his head. And when Jesus arose from the grave, Satan received a crushing wound. And he's just waiting for the final time when Jesus takes that rascal by the back of his neck and the seat of his breeches and throws him into the lake of fire forever. The sad thing is that so many people want to join Satan in the lake of fire. The lake of fire was not planned and was not established for people. It was established for the devil and his judgment. But people want to go on in sin. They want to go on in immorality. They want to go on in alcoholism. They don't want to go on in their filthy language. In spite of all the roadblocks that God has placed before them, they want to go headlong in Christ with Satan into the everlasting burning lake of fire. Then the false prophets come back to the scene there and claim that it's not everlasting, but it is clearly, according to the Scriptures, an everlasting punishment, even as heaven is everlasting glory. And so Jesus arose from the grave. And I thank God that on the first day of the week, we can honor the resurrection of our wonderful Savior. The Apostle Paul said, I am sent for the defense of the gospel, and it is a shame that there are so many that would rob us of this wonderful celebration of the resurrection of Jesus by coming together on the first day of the week. I have in my hand a copy of a book that has been republished many times. It is now in the 94th printing in 2007. 31.4 million are in print. It's called National Sunday Law by A. Jan Markison. And in that book, three lines up from the bottom of page 47, he said, quote, Sunday worship is the mark of the beast, end of quote. Friends, how could anyone twist the Scripture so as to say the day that Jesus arose from the grave and the day that Christians come together to worship, that Sunday worship could be the mark of the beast? It's the mark of the resurrection of Jesus is what it is. It's the mark of redemption is what it is. It's the mark of glory is what it is. And so when we come together on the first day of the week, on the Lord's Day, on Sunday, around the Lord's table, don't let anyone tell you that that is the mark of the beast. That is an outlandish stretch of trying to interpret biblical prophecy. My friends, it's glorious. The resurrection of Jesus. He arose from the grave at the end of the Sabbath. The Bible teaches Jesus arose from the grave. There's no less than seven wonderful things related to the first day of the week. Number one, like we've mentioned, Jesus arose bodily, literally, on the first day of the week. Then, in Acts chapter 2, we find that Pentecost always came in on the first day of the week. And so, therefore, that great notable day that was the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, was on the first day of the week. The Bible teaches that the gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost. And so, on the first day of the week, not only did Jesus arise from the grave, not only did they come together on that great feast day of Pentecost, which was the first day of the week, but the first gospel sermon was preached on the first day of the week. That's what you need to zero in on today. The first gospel sermon told exactly about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus on the first day of the week at the end of the Sabbath. And then the first souls were saved on the first day of the week. It was on the day of Pentecost, which was observed on the first day of the week. After the gospel was preached in all of its power, Peter said, You've crucified him and slain him. And they said, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered and said, Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then as we read the rest of that chapter, the Bible teaches, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Bible scholars, that's another wonderful thing that happened on the first day of the week. Then the church was founded on the first day of the week. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so Jesus arose. The great day of Pentecost came. The first gospel sermon was preached. The first souls were saved. And the church was founded all on the wonderful day that Jesus arose from the grave on Sunday, on the first day of the week. How can anyone say, honoring that wonderful occasion which Christians did from the earliest of times? The evidence goes back even beyond the Scriptures to the evidence of historians born as early as A.D. 100 that testified on Sunday the Christians came together to observe the Lord's Supper. And so, on the first day of the week, the church was founded. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together. I want you to notice in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, the Bible says, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, all reputable scholars that have ever lived, oh, there's some that will shoot off and try because of their own agenda to explain this away, but for nearly 2,000 years, it's been nearly universally acclaimed that what they did on the first day of the week was to come together to remember the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Then in 1 Corinthians 16:2, on the first day of the week, they were told to bring their offering. And so, isn't it wonderful what happened all as it started when Jesus overcame death and arose from the grave on the first day of the week? As I look back at that first full gospel sermon preached on that wonderful first day of the week, those people were cut to their heart when they found out about their sin. Are you willing to admit that you're a sinner? Are you willing to admit that you've fallen short from the glory of God? In this modern nation in which we're living today, the modern philosophical approach to religion will almost eliminate guilt for sin. But gambling is a sin, drinking is a sin, cursing is a sin, punishable by eternity in damnation. But Jesus arose from the first day of the week to give you a chance to be saved. And those people that were living in sin were told to repent. They were told to repent. Acts 2:38, repent. That means recognize your sin. Be sorry for your sin. And turn from your sin. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Some say that just applied to the Jews, but listen to this next verse. For this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. The churches of Christ salute you. You can go back to the Bible, take the Bible only, and be Christians only. You can have no headquarters but heaven, wear no name but the divine, and have no book but the Bible. You can go back beyond Protestantism and Romanism and Eastern Orthodoxy, all the way back to when the disciples were simply known as Christians and the church was the church. Go back to the clean, clear air. Drink from the water as it comes gushing out of the stream. Thank God that it started with the glorious plan in the mind of God, continued with the resurrection of Jesus. My salvation is available to you today if you'll receive it and obey it and do what God has told you to do. Be tuned in next week. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the plan of salvation. Thank you for the first day of the week and that we can honor Jesus and what he did on the first day of every week and also every day of every week of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.